Blog Talk Radio.
Into your event. Hello, and welcome to the Event Center. An event specialist will join you shortly. If you're a speaker or presenter, please notify the event specialist. You may be asked to provide a confirmation code, speaker's name, or the title of your event. Please be prepared to provide that information. Once you have provided that information, you'll be placed on hold with music or placed into your event. Hello, and welcome to the Event Center. An event specialist will join you shortly. If you're a speaker or presenter, please notify the event specialist. You may be asked to provide a confirmation code, speaker's name, or the title of your event. Please be prepared to provide that information. Once you have provided that information, you'll be placed on hold with music or placed into your event.
Thank you for calling. May I have your confirmation code and the title of your conference?
Yes, the confirmation code is 1762652, and it's UFC 249 Media Conference.
Okay, let me find that. And then can I go ahead and get your name with spelling, please?
Yes, it's John, J-O-N, and last name is McCaffrey, M-C-C. A-F-F-R-E-Y.
And your company name?
The MMA Community.com.
I'm sorry, did you say the Internet Community?
No, it's the MMA Community.
Go ahead and spell it for me.
Sure. It's the T-H-E, M as in Mary, M as in Mary, A as in Apple, Community. C-O-M-M.
The MMA Community. Did I get it that right that
yep.
time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
.com. Oh, there's a .com. So it's all one word, basically. I mean, if you're doing like a .com, right?
Yep.
There's no spaces?
Yep, all one.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, let me set it. Bear
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Please stand by. Good day and welcome to the UFC 249 Media Conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Lene Breckenridge. Please go ahead.
Welcome everyone to the UFC 249 Media Conference call. UFC 249 takes place Saturday, May 9th from ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena in Jacksonville, Florida. First bout is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. local time on ESPN and UFC Fight Pass, with a pay-per-view main card kicking off at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Today's call will be in two parts, with the athletes participating in the championship bout. We'll kick things off with a co-main event featuring UFC bantamweight champion Henry Cejudo and former two-time division champion Dominic Cruz. The main event of Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje for the UFC interim lightweight title will join us at the bottom of the hour. And with that, we can open up to questions for Henry and Dominic.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, it may be necessary for you to lift your handset before making your selection. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. And we'll take our first question from Rodney James Edgar with MMASoldier.net.
Hey, Hey, yes. First question is for Henry Cejudo. Previously, you were linked to a bout with Jose Aldo. That was talked about. Obviously, a lot of things have changed in terms of fights, events. How did this one come together? How was Dominic Cruz presented to you?
First of all, Dominic was my first choice since the beginning. I wanted to fight him. Since the beginning, I thought it was a great storyline. We're both from Arizona. He's a former champ. I beat the number one contender, Marlon Moraes. I mean, there was really not a concrete number one contender after I beat Marlon Moraes. And my original plan was to fight him, but then I saw the fact that Jose Aldo, you know, did a good job with Marlon Moraes, who was a number one contender. And, you know, I decided to go with Aldo, but I always told Dominic, I said, Dominic, stay on deck because, you know, if anything happens, man, you know, you're the guy that I want next. And it just turned out to be that that Jose Aldo couldn't get a visa, and that allowed Dominic Cruz to squeeze back in. But he was always part of the plan in the first place, and now we're going to scrap. Now we're going to fight.
In terms of the rankings, he's probably, you know, not the legitimate number one contender. So was the reason that you preferred him just because of his legendary status? His name, and that he's one of the greatest to ever fight at that weight class?
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. I'm on a legacy rampage, and I feel like Dominic is probably one of the guys that I can remember that made a big name that kind of paved the road for a lot of us little guys. But that's another reason why I want to continue to keep adding big names to my hit list, and to continue this legacy rampage.
What do you think is going to happen with 125 now? I mean, you know, you've got some key guys that are not in the division anymore, such as yourself, and then you've got, you know, Ray Borg, for example, one of the top guys who continuously fails to meet that weight requirement. It kind of seems like it's dwindling. What do you think is going to happen there this year?
Well, I mean, like I said, I did my job, man. I fought for the title. I beat Demetrius. I defended my title. You know, right now my sole objective is Dominic Cruz on May 9th. I'm not even thinking about what's going to happen with the flyweights. They got to wake up and smell the coffee. They got to go out there. They got to start, you know, really putting time into the flyweights and really recruiting some of the best guys in the world, because the flyweight division is one of the toughest, best divisions in the UFC, pound for pound. Everybody's fast. Everybody's technical. And I think that's what makes that flyweight division good. But as of now, my sole focus is on May 9th.
Thank you. I have one more, and, you know, it's for both of you guys. So starting with you, Henry, I know you have your own gym in Phoenix. Is that where you got ready for your training camp? And also, does the coronavirus quarantine hinder your training in any way? I would imagine not, because you have your own gym and you can use it privately, right?
Yeah, no, not at all, man. If anything, I really don't know the difference between quarantine, the COVID-19 quarantine, and me and my training camp. I'm a professional. I train each and every day. I do my recovery. I mean, I do everything right, or I try to do everything right. So this whole quarantine, I think by the time the U.S. comes back together, I'm just not going to know the difference.
And what about you, Dominic? What was the training camp like for you? This happened to be an unprecedented situation that you're in.
Yeah, I mean, I've been rehabbing my shoulder for the past few months anyway, so realistically, I was already training really hard to build back the atrophy and everything else that I needed to do. So I was already training hard. And then Jeremy Stevens had a fight coming up with Calvin Kattar, and I was helping him train for that about 2 weeks before this card got slated. So I was already training pretty hard with Jeremy, sparring him and just helping him prepare, doing the same workouts he was doing to make sure he wasn't having to train alone. So that really, that was like actually led right into this camp. So I technically had about a 6 week camp for this one, which happened to be plenty enough to be in shape for 5 rounds.
What do you think it's going to be like fighting with no audience? That's got to be weird, right?
Well, I mean, I think the silence might be the weird part realistically. But, you know, if you fight in Japan, if you see a lot, like there's a lot of people there, but they don't make a lot of noise. So it could be like that. also, when you train in the gym a lot, I don't have a lot of people in the gym, especially now in the quarantine as you're training. We've all been having to train with minimal people, like 4 to 6 people max in the gym, so that nobody's getting contaminated. And it's been pretty silent in there. So I think it's going to resemble training in the gym, and also similar to the Ultimate Fighter, except we had all the competitors on the teams at the Ultimate Fighter. It was still somewhat kind of eerily quiet. So there's a few different scenarios that I've been in where it's going to resemble this, I believe.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
Once again, that is star one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Damon Martin with MMAfighting.com.
Hey, guys. First question for Henry. Henry, obviously, at this point, you know, you're all about legacy fights. You talked about that with the Aldo fight. You talked about it with other fights. Where does Dominic Cruz rank in terms of legacy, in terms of your legacy? How big is this fight for you for that, considering most people consider him, you know, the greatest bantamweight of all time?
Yeah, well, I think every fight that you have is your most important fight, right? So, like I said, man, I wouldn't put him above Demetrius Johnson, even though he has a victory over him. But I'd put him up there. I'd put him up in top three. But my last fight is always my greatest fight. And, you know, I do respect Dominic's skills. I do know that he's tricky, and I plan for that. But I think the difference between me and everybody else is I don't ever fight everybody the same. You know, I'm that type of guy that can make adjustments, and you guys have seen that during the fight. So the way I would rank them is every fight's the greatest fight for me, the greatest fight that I could beat.
Henry, you know, there's a lot to be said about ring rust in this sport, but we have precedent with Dominic when he came back off a long layoff and he beat Takeo Mizugaki. He came back off another long layoff and beat TJ Dillashaw. So he's proven that ring rust doesn't necessarily affect him. But what did you expect, you know, coming into this fight off of, you know, a 3-year long layoff? Are you looking for those kind of things, or do you have to expect Dominic is going to be the best he's ever been?
Oh, do I? Yeah, that's what I expect. I expect the best Cruz. I expect the reason why Dominic has been successful is because it's because of his grit. Because it is. I will say this is because of his mind. But I also see a lot of flaws in there too, technically. So I know he's a tough challenger. He's been around the sport for a very long time, analyzing fights and team fights like that. It makes you a smarter, gives you a good MMA IQ. But I just think he's going up against a dude that's just hungrier, stronger, that's in his prime. And I'm just on a rampage, man. It's like when I first started wrestling. You know, I wasn't doing as great in the beginning into the international stage. But once I got my feet wet, man, I shocked the world. And it's no difference with wrestling and mixed martial arts.
And Henry, obviously, you're not the matchmaker. You're going to be the guy to sign to fight whoever they put in front of you. And I know your focus is 100% on Dominic Cruz, but I know before this you were going to fight Jose Aldo. What do you say to the guys like Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling and Corey Sandhagen, who all want a chance at your title, but you know there's not a direct line to you right now? If you get through Dominic, you might fight Aldo next. TJ Dillashaw comes back early next year. Like, what do you say to the other contenders in the division?
I'm going to tell them to wait for their king. Wait for the king to tell them to bend the knee. Aljamain Sterling got knocked out by the guy that I knocked out. Wait in line. And then Peter Yan, he needs to learn better English. He absolutely sucks. And you can't beat a 41-year-old and expect to get a title shot. That's just ridiculous. I'd rather fight somebody that hasn't fought in 4 years, like as in Dominic, if you choose those two.
And a couple questions for Dominic. Obviously, Dominic, you've already achieved so much in your career, you know, doing the things you've done and proving people wrong again and again, coming back off injuries and doing the amazing things. But where does this fight rank in terms of your legacy, considering what you've had to go through to get back here and knowing what Henry represents as obviously 2-division champion, Olympic gold medalist, all these things you've achieved? Where does this fight rank for you in your career?
Well, I mean, it ranks up there as another history-making fight for me, you know, but I really look at this a lot different than belts and all the things that we have. It's more about how you can make a difference in these times when you have a platform. So I look at this as a time where I can make a huge difference. Like, what's the value of champions belts or Olympic gold medals when there's 33 million Americans that just filed for unemployment benefits? They can't feed their families since mid-March. 2,417 Americans died in the United States. There's no vaccine for COVID-19 coming, probably no end in sight. You know, so I've been in the question of what's the value of belts or even Olympic gold medals unless we can use it to make a difference in the lives and the service of humanity, essentially, really. The leader that made a difference for me in this way is Muhammad Ali. He was willing to give up the belt, possibly go to prison for 5 years to stand for what he saw as world peace. That put me in the question of what's my purpose in all of my accomplishments here? And realistically, it's to make a difference and stand for everybody who thinks that they're not a champion and let them know that regardless of what everybody says, regardless of what everybody's credentials are, none of that matters if you believe and if you want it and you have a bigger purpose than yourself. Just what you have and just holding up your belts to everybody and saying I'm better than you because I have this thing. How about, you know, every single person out there gets to be that if they choose it whenever they want, and I'm going to stand for that after a 3-year layoff again and everybody says ring rust exists and it actually doesn't. It's all in your head.
Well, to that point, Donnie, my last question will be that, you know, you've proven it time and time again how you've been able to come back from these injuries and look good and look great. And it's like, what is it do you feel like separates you from other guys? Because it is true, we have seen guys struggle off layoffs and time off and things like that. How have you been able to do that multiple times?
Well, I mean, you just it's about making sure that you prepare yourself the right way. I live this life to train. So, like, when this is all said and done, I'm going to be in this kind of shape still. I enjoy training. It's like a livelihood for me. It's just how I like to live my life, is in shape, feeling good, and training hard, and really transformation is a public event, so I'm constantly trying to transform in my life. And this is the place to do it, is on a stage in front of, you know, the first sports event to ever happen. This is the stage where transformation happens. You know, every athlete on this card is putting themselves in a vulnerable position where they can be beaten or win. And what's the point? What's the pleasure in winning if there's no, you know, thought of losing? So all this comes together to create, you know, a lot of fire, and I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well, you better start the unemployment checks. I'm taking your ass out.
Yeah, cool story, Henry.
Dominique, you know I'm the real deal. You know I'm coming. You ain't getting past 3 rounds.
Yep, okay. You're short. I know that. And I know you're going to have a hard time finding me, little man.
And you're going to remember that. You're going to remember that, princess.
Okay. We'll see, man. When you're in there missing, you're going to find out real quick the difference and the amount of rounds I got in there over you. I got hours in there over you, little man. You're a wrestler.
Okay, sure,
I'm about to prove that and expose you real quick.
You just try not to break a nail, princess. You just make sure to make it on May 9th.
Yeah, you coming off of shoulder surgery too, smart guy. So how are you any more tough than me? You're just coming back from surgery after a year. Have you ever done that? Nope. I've done
it
several times and I've proved it.
I'm a flyweight champion. I'm the fastest weight champion of the world, and I am the greatest combat athlete of all time. That's
fine. Yeah, we'll see about that. Yeah, well, there you go, flaunting your credentials again, but none of those mean anything because how do you make a difference for anybody but yourself? I had the belt for 10 years. I've been the
You haven't. You only fought 2 times in 10 years, Dominic.
I fought many times in 10 years. And I, you know what? I have more title fights than you as well. So remember that, too. All you got to do is look at the numbers, Henry. You're catching up still, bro.
Well, you prove it to me, Princess, on May 9th. Because on May 9th, like I said before, I'm serving gold.
I don't have anything to prove. I'm just going to beat it out of you. You're going to embarrass yourself trying to fight me.
I hope so, Princess. That's just the last time against Cody.
Yep, Cody's not you, is he? I have no power in the past. I have power right now.
I'm another animal on top of that, Dominic. I'm a whole nother
beast. What happened with you and Benavidez? What happened with you, Demetrius Johnson? You lost to both of them. I haven't lost to either of them.
That was 4 years ago, Dominic.
You lost.
That was 4 years ago.
It was 3 years ago I lost. So there you go. Here you go. If you want to talk about past, there you go for you. I got some proof why I'm going to smash you.
I came back and I and I beat one of the greatest of all time, Demetrius.
And I'm about to come back and smash just a little turd who thinks he's better than he is. You're a 25er, and I'm going to prove it.
You can try, Princess. You can try. Try not to break the nail, Dominic.
We heard that already. You keep saying the same thing, nerd.
Exactly, because you're brittle, and you break everything.
Did you just come off of the surgery? Does that make you brittle? You're an idiot. Listen to yourself.
I'm strong. I'm cock strong.
Lauren, we can move on to the next question.
Our next question comes from
Kevin. I love you, Dominic.
Hey, guys. Thank you for that. Tough act to follow. My question would be for Dominic. The first thing, Dominic, obviously the Dillashaw fight was a huge win for you in your career, and I know it was an emotional victory. If you were to win this title on Saturday night, do you think it would surpass it, given that you've gone through this a second time? Would it surpass the significance of your win over TJ?
I think the win over TJ will be more because TJ Dillashaw is a true bantamweight, and Henry's still a 25er. So realistically, this isn't going to be as tough as a fight as TJ. I know that.
The physical accomplishment of getting your body back and doing everything that you've done, having had to do it a second or a third time, will that add to it at all? Though, you know, even if you don't respect Henry the same way you respected TJ, the fact that you're getting your body back to, you know, that kind of level, will that have any added significance?
Well, I never said I didn't respect Henry. I said that it was going to be not as tough as a fight as it was against a true bantamweight in TJ Dillashaw. So don't twist my words, please. I do respect what Henry's done as a martial artist. Yeah, you did. I do respect what Henry's done as a martial artist. You can't take that away. But I do believe that TJ is a true 135er and that Henry is a true 125er. And he'll go back down to his division after I beat him.
And, you know, after you had your fight with Cody, you gave one of the most amazing speeches I thought that I've ever heard an athlete give in the UFC, especially after a defeat. And I wonder, you know, was that, you know, when you look back on it, is that kind of the emotions you're feeling right now as you talked about, you know, giving back and you talked about the, you know, how many people have lost their jobs? Is that sort of the same emotion that you're feeling as you felt then after that Cody fight in terms of the way you approached that speech and the way you kind of, you know, try to approach this fight?
Yeah, 100%. In that time, you know, everybody in their life has lost something. And I think that was, you know, as a fighter, as a champion who hadn't lost in so long, to be in that vulnerable position and to be able to, you know, just take full responsibility, I think it's bigger than me just making a bunch of excuses. It's about how can you, you know, come up with something to give to the world with the platform that we have, to actually say something that matters rather than just basically vomiting on the mic. I mean, this is a platform we have. A lot of people listen to us. A lot of people like to hear what we have to say, and I think it's important that we use the platform for a bigger purpose, and that's what this is going to create.
You know what, Dominic, you should try out for Miss Universe. You sound like Miss Universe.
That's what this fight represents. It represents something bigger than just me.
Why don't you go sprinkle some flowers all across the world, Princess?
Like I said,
Dom, if I could just follow up with one other question, then I know when an athlete loses, you know, when you guys lose a fight, you want to get back and get in there and kind of get it. You've had to sit there with that loss for 3 years and haven't had the ability to, you know, to get back and, you know, not avenge it against Cody, but just beat somebody else. Has that not at you? Has that been difficult to deal with? That, you know, the last time you were coming back, you were coming off victories. This time you have that, you know, that red L sitting on your record for 3 years. Is that tough to deal with mentally?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't really look at it that way. I look at it as the past. Like, how many times have you made a bad article that you weren't happy with? I'm sure many, and it wasn't perfect. But do you sit and look at that bad article every day when you try to do this interview with me, or do you move on into the present moment and try to ask the best questions you can now? That's what I'm doing. I'm focused on the now, where my power is at, and I'm in very good shape. I feel like money right now. I'm heavy. I'm strong, I'm fast, and I'm lean, and I'm ready to go. So that's what I'm focused on. You don't focus on past stuff. There's no control there. What's the point of that?
Cool, thank you. And then I have one question for Triple C, please. Henry, you know, obviously Dominic will set the standard by which this division is judged by his wins over Demetrius and so many other fighters, you know, Uriah Faber and whatnot over the year. What do you think you have to do to, you know, for yourself to surpass him when people look back and they want to talk about you in this division like that? Do you feel it's a number of wins, or do you feel it's just particular names, you know, beating the Aldos and those kind of people? Is that what it will take?
Yeah, no. Like, first of all, I know I'm going to beat Dominic. I truly, sincerely believe that and know that. My plan is not to beat him. My plan is to stop this dude. It's to stop everybody that's in front of me. Like, I'm not out there no more to just win by decision. I'm out there to put people. I'm not there to put people out. So the more I continue to keep doing that, you know, the more people understand that. Hey, man, this dude is. There's just no denying.
No, so in the past, you went to win by decision.
They don't have.
You wanted to win by.
They don't have.
You wanted to win by
MMA,
decision.
MMA don't have a Michael Jordan.
That's what you sound like.
They don't have a Michael Jordan of MMA. And I'm looking.
It's
I'm
me.
Looking to do that.
I'm the Michael Jordan of 135.
I'm knocking people out, and that's it. And Dominic happens to be in my way, and I'm getting ready to execute him.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bryce Miller with the San Diego Tribune.
Hi, Dominic. More curious what you, you know, kind of what are your important roots and connections with San Diego and why that place has become important to you, and then I'll have a quick follow-up.
Well, I was born in San Diego, but I was raised in Tucson, Arizona. So I was like from 2 years old until I was 21, I was raised in Tucson in that school system and in that lifestyle, but I've been here ever since 21 to start my professional mixed martial arts career. So it's a mixture. I've become a true professional here in mixed martial arts, but in Tucson is where I figured out who I was, you know, growing up. It's where I found my roots, had my toughness, my grit, my tenacity. It comes from Tucson. And so putting the two together has just made me, I feel complete as a man.
Just more in general, as the world watches sporting events that are being canceled or postponed, it's so rare to have something that's live. You guys are kind of at the front end of that, trendsetters, or at least checking that terrain out first. Do you have any health concerns related to the virus being in a contact sport at this point?
I don't. I mean, realistically, anybody can contract this virus. I think that's partially the point is, understanding that anybody on earth can get this, but you can't just freeze up when you see something that's scary. You got to just kind of take the precaution, be as safe as possible, but live your life. That's what I'm doing.
That's a lot. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Aaron Bronstetter with TSN.
Hey, guys, this one's for Dominic. Dom, the circumstances for getting the title shot were a bit different, obviously, relatively short notice, government restrictions. A great opportunity, but were those circumstances a turnoff at all for accepting this fight?
No. Not at all.
How were you able to train adequately for it under these circumstances? I don't know if you're a year-round ready to go type guy, or if there were anything you had to do to ramp it up a little bit in the previous weeks?
Yeah, I had to ramp it up, definitely. You go from not fighting to fighting a title fight, so yeah, you got to ramp it up. But I've been training with Jeremy Stevens, who I know is bigger, stronger than anybody in my division, so training with him and mixing it up with other small guys at the same time, I've got the speed of small guys that I get to work with and the size of big guys mixed together, and sparring with them round by round really pieces together a good camp. And I've had good training partners, and I got a good coach, and I've been here before many times. I've got tons of title fights, tons of time in that octagon. So it's just another day doing what I enjoy doing.
All right, for Henry, you look at your last three wins: Demetrius, TJ Dillashaw, Marlon Aish. If you win this weekend, would you still want to face Jose Aldo next? Because the win streak of Demetrius, TJ, Moraes, Dominic Cruz, and Aldo could potentially be greatest win streak ever, really, in terms of resume.
Go back and look at my resume.
I told Uncle Dana, I said, I ain't leaving. After I beat up Dominique, I said, I'm going to be stomping on Jose Baldo's toes next. And then after that, Alexander Volkanovski, an overgrown midget, he's next.
See, that's the best he can do with his platform. You hear that? What a, it's so useless. Sorry
exactly,
for you guys.
Exactly, Dominic. Exactly.
Come on,
you
man.
Will be part
you're
of that
better, bro. You're better. You're better than the
stop
work.
Stop trying to be Miss Universe,
silly.
Princess. I'm here
silly,
for purpose.
Man.
I'm here. You better sign up for unemployment.
What is your? Why are you here? Why are you doing this?
Why am I here?
Adult?
Because I am here.
What's your purpose
I am here
in
to be the greatest of all time. That's why, Dominic.
And then what?
Knock your ass out.
What
that's why.
And then
knock
what?
You out.
And then what? Then when it's all over and you're retired.
Out.
Then when you're all retired, you're just going
to
have yourself.
And then just
to
keep
yourself.
Knocking
that's
everybody out. That's it. That's it, Dominic. Dude, you're like, I swear to you, man. You're like, dude, you should try out for a pageant. I swear to you. Because your actions prove nothing.
All right, and finally, Dominic, a win this weekend, they would make it twice that you come back from a major injury to win a title. That's never happened in MMA, and I don't know if it's ever really happened in pro sports of any kind. Do you ever step back and think about how incredible an accomplishment that would be and the gravity of this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point. It's like, you know, anybody who thinks that stuff's that difficult, you know, it equals up to anything that's ever been done, period, in sports. So that's how you become, you know, legendary in this thing. I've already done legendary things in the division and in the sport. I got more than half my fights are title fights alone. And so just with, you know, the murderer's row that I faced, Benavidez, Uriah Faber, TJ Dillashaw, Demetrius Johnson, I mean, the list goes on. With all these people that I've beaten, I cleaned out the division. I was ranked number 2 behind only the number 1 pound-for-pound man for a year, Demetrius Johnson, and I had beaten him. So I've pretty much been pound-for-pound the best at one time in this sport. And, you know, I've done everything you can do. And to come out after the layoff when nobody really gives you a shot and then just beat up at 125-er, it's going to be fun.
All right, guys, thanks. Appreciate your time.
And that's all the time we have for questions. I'll turn the call back to Lene for additional remarks.
Thank you, Lauren. I would like to thank Henry and Dominic for joining today's call. Media, stay on the line while we dial in the main event athletes.
Hold on, what are you dialing?
Please stand by. Good day and welcome to the USC 249 media conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Lene Breckenridge. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Lauren. We now have Tony and Justin on the line, so we can open it up to questions once again.
Thank you. And once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal.
How you doing, Justin?
Take our first question from Jeff Wagenheim.
I'm great.
With ESPN.
Great.
And Jeff, your line is open. Jeff Wagenheim with ESPN, your line is open. We'll take our next question from Jeffrey Harris with 411 Mania MMA.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First of all, I just wanted to thank you guys for coming together and putting this fight card on. It's a very crazy, uncertain time right now, and I'm always grateful for the fighters, but the fact that you guys are coming together and fighting right now in a time where we're looking for distractions and escapist entertainment, it means a lot. So I just wanted to first thank you both.
Thank you, bro.
First question for Justin. Originally, this fight was scheduled for April 18th. Did it set your mind at ease at all that you were going to be getting another few weeks to prepare for one of the biggest fights of your career?
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. 20 days is very short notice, but I've had 5 weeks to train, 6 weeks total. So I think, it's super necessary for me to mentally prepare. You know, to fight someone like Tony, I got to, prepare for some. I have to mentally prepare for that. You know, you don't just walk in and be mentally ready. So this time has definitely allowed me that, and I'm definitely thankful I got it.
In question for El Kakui, Tony Ferguson, you made weight the weekend of April 18th, the weekend this fight was originally scheduled for. I was so impressed when you did that. I can't think of many fighters who would normally do something like that. But has doing that made it easier for you to kind of stay at an optimal weight to get ready for this new date that was set?
I didn't think it was that impressive at all. Justin can vouch for this one too. When you're a wrestler, you make weight every weekend, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. There wasn't shit going on, so I mean, it gave somebody something to watch and look forward to, and it wasn't easy. I'll be real. It was actually pretty difficult. I didn't have my nutritionist or anybody with me to do it, and just handled it the way that I knew how to. And I took the reins by my own hand and just went out there and just fucking did it, man. I mean, obviously, like I said before, we don't know what the fight would have happened if I didn't make weight or anything. I mean, there wasn't anything going on. So to me, it just made fucking sense, man.
And for Tony and Justin, this is called an interim title fight, but would either of you see yourselves as the true champion of this division after this fight is over, considering Khabib is not making it to this fight, and I guess no one sent him location?
Fuck Khabib. I'm going to be real. Sorry about cutting you off, Justin, but I'm going to say fuck Khabib. I'm defending my belt for the third time. This is for the real belt. This is for not for an interim title. This is for the real championship shit, man. It's champ shit only, buddy.
Yeah, for me,
fuck, I mean, this is the biggest fight of my life. The interim belt means for me that you'd be recognized as the number two man in the world. Khabib can't fight right now. So, these are the two baddest men on the planet in this weight class fighting this weekend for the right to, call themselves the best and then ultimately challenge Khabib. I think we're fighting for the opportunity to represent America against Khabib, and that's what I'm fighting for.
I told Khabib
to set it down and walk away. He was a bitch. I'm going to be real. Look at him and McNuggets. They both need to fucking retire. The only two real men out there right now are going to be me and Justin Gaethje, American motherfuckers.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen, and good luck.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Our next question comes from Damon Martin with MMAfighting.com.
Hey, guys, first question for Tony. Obviously, you had no intention of waiting. You wanted to fight Justin, but kind of walk me through that mindset, because I don't think anyone would have blamed you to say, hey, I'll wait for Khabib. It's a fight we've all waited for. But what was the mindset in taking a short-notice fight against, we got to be honest, Justin's a very dangerous guy?
It wasn't short notice. I've been training for fucking 6 to 7 months. As soon as we found out we were going to fight Khabib, I was already training in December. So, I mean, obviously conditioning is there, strength's there. My body's completely changed. I didn't have a strength and conditioning coach besides myself, and I had my trainers actually push me through the ringer for every single practice. I mean, 12-hour days. I mean, seriously, man, it wasn't easy, but I made it happen, and I'm very lucky to be able to have a fucking team, one of the best teams that's out there in the whole entire world, man. And I'm ready for fucking anything, man. And I went in the Ultimate Fighter, and I won that bitch at 170 pounds, and it was a tournament. So it doesn't matter who you put in front of me, I'm going to go out there and get my best. Win or lose, I'm going to walk away a fucking winner.
You've already kind of mentioned it, but I got to ask the question. Everything goes well on Saturday night. Will you move on to something else? Are you even interested in rebooking the fight with Habib, considering all the things that have surrounded
no
that
comment.
Fight
stop,
falling
stop,
apart?
No, you can stop right there, bro. I'm not going to answer that fucking question. We're worrying about UFC 249, the fights with Justin Gaethje.
So with that being said, obviously we know what Justin brings to the table. He's an incredibly tough guy, huge knockout power. When you look at his game, what impresses you about Justin?
I don't know. Why don't you ask Justin what impresses him about me?
I will ask him that. But I'll ask you first. What impresses you about Justin?
He's got a lot of heart.
Justin, for you, obviously you've fought a lot of great guys in your career, so I'll kind of turn that question around to you. When you look at Tony, what does impress you most about Tony Ferguson?
Man, I'm a huge fan of MMA, and first and foremost, I think humans recognize effort, and I recognize he gets max effort, the tenacity that he brings to the cage. I'm looking forward to the storm. You know, I know that, for one, we get to put paychecks in our own pocket. We get to put a paycheck in every UFC employee's pocket that's going to work this event. And we get to inspire people to not give up right now. You know, before I was fighting him, after I was fighting him, he's the epitome of an athlete. The UFC athlete, he loves violence. He loves carnage. And you know, this is a recipe for disaster, and I think we both want to be on that path.
I really don't like hurting people. I just go in there and do my shit. And unfortunately, they fucked up. My bad, dude.
I don't want to – no one wants to – seriously, I pray every day that neither one of us get chronically injured. But one of us, you know, a fight is a fight, and people love violence. So that's what we do best.
And, Justin, you know, you talked about your end goal is always to get to the lightweight title. Obviously, this is kind of a weird set of circumstances to get here. But have you kind of wrapped your head around that, you know, what it will mean, and, you know, to finally win that title if everything goes well for you on Saturday night? Because I know that's kind of always been the end goal. Everyone talks about the bonuses and the exciting fights. But I know your goal has always been to be champion.
Yeah, I haven't really crossed. My life doesn't exist after May 9th right now. Honestly, it doesn't matter. When the fight comes, there's only a few things that I can control. That's preparation, effort. The preparation's there. The effort will be there. And outside that, like I said, my life does not exist after May 9th right now.
Awesome. Best luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you, Dan.
Sir.
And as a reminder, that is star one to ask a phone question. Our next question comes from Gabriel Gonzalez with Cage Side Press.
Thank you. For both Tony and Justin, you guys are known for being very popular fighters, ones that fans really get excited for, and there's a lot of energy. Have you guys, you know, just how do you envision for both of you the experience of going out there and there's not going to be that big crowd?
When I was in the Ultimate Fighter, it was the exact same thing. I mean, the only people that we had in the crowd was two sets of bleachers and our coaches. We had a couple cornermen, and we had the commission right there. It's going to be exactly like how I was training the Ultimate Fighter when I was part of Team Lesnar. Nothing's going to change. Nothing has changed, and we're going to keep doing the exact same thing. We're going to go out there with that W.
Me and Tony grew up wrestlers.
And for Justin,
you never knew how many people were going to be in that arena, in the gym. It didn't matter. You know, a duel, sometimes no one showed up. So competition is competition. And I believe it's going to be much more of an intimate situation, as weird as that sounds. The fans are going to get to hear, you know, the shots when we land our shots. They're going to hear that. They're going to hear the breathing. They're going to hear the talking from the coaches. So, yeah, man, I think it's, again, you know, I'm a huge fan of it. Man, I can't wait to watch this fight when it's over because I know that it cannot disappoint.
For Tony, we've watched you pretty much, you know, we saw you getting ready for April 18th, and then every time something has come up, you've just showed us, you're just still eyes on the target, fighting, taking whichever opponent. People just want to know, how have you been able to stay focused? Well, then, of course, in MMA, what's been the secret for you to just tune out everything to be at the top of your game going into this fight?
Man, I'm not worried about anything else besides my game or what anybody else is going to do. We did all the preparation, all the hard work, the grunt work was done in the off season, and right now we're fine-tuning and we're feeling fucking great. I just got done with a nice-ass warm-up. Took me a couple hours, and I'm feeling great, dude. We got here yesterday, ran almost 6 miles, and we got acclimated to Jacksonville, Florida. Can't wait to put a fucking shoe on for everybody at UFC 249.
And finally, for Justin, earlier this year, we were thinking you were going to be on the outside looking in while everything gets sorted out with Tony Khabib, with everything else. Now, you have a great opportunity to almost flip the entire lightweight division upside down. Can you just talk about what it's been like, that roller coaster of emotions as you go into this one?
Yeah, I mean, as a fighter, you want control. You want at least a say or control of your destiny. That's all I was asking for, was to not get looked over or to not get passed by because of politics. Things worked out the way they did, and now I got exactly what I asked for. You know, I get the ultimate say in my destiny, and that's all I ever wanted.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Next question comes from Danny Figueroa with MMA Junkie.
Hey, Justin, how are you? Quick question for you. Tony has obviously been on an incredible win streak, and he's basically said, you know, how this is going to be another title defense for him. Do you see him that way? Do you believe he's almost like the uncrowned champion of the lightweight division?
Yeah, I mean, he fought a huge fight, won that belt, and then they took it from him. So, you know, I didn't agree with it. He got the title fight. This fight was set up, and because of these unfortunate circumstances, we had to move on. He had to move in a different direction, and luckily, I'm the one that got the call, man. Because again, all I wanted to say, you know, win or lose, max effort. That's all that matters to me. My family will love me. My dog don't give a shit if I win or lose. So yeah, it's max effort, and that's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And any concerns you mentioned there, like, you know, you didn't agree with how they took the belt away from him. Any concerns that you might, you know, get the interim title and maybe not get the shot at Khabib, or is that not in your mind?
My life does not exist after May 9th. I don't know, don't care, doesn't matter. I'll figure that out when I, you know, it's one day at a time for me. I am in control of my thoughts, my emotions, and outside that, I don't have much control of much else.
And a few questions ago, you mentioned, you know, how the game has politics in the division, all that. How much did the politics influence the decision to jump at this opportunity, given the fact that, you know, these opportunities don't come around often?
No, you don't ever. There's not very often you're going to get a chance to fight for a world title on the biggest stage in the world, much less during a pandemic when there's zero sports going on. You're going to be the only one on TV. You know, it was a perfect storm. I say I don't take late replacement fights, but I never say I don't take late replacement championship fights. This is all we fight for as athletes, as fighters. You fight to be number one. You fight to prove that you believe that you're number one. And, you know, you have to face your fears. You got to go out there and take the chances that you got to take when they're presented.
And for Tony, you've been the number one contender for quite some time. I think, you know, if you would have decided to wait for Khabib, I don't think people would have complained about you getting that fight with Khabib. So what was the decision behind taking this fight with Justin? Because Justin is a very game opponent, obviously. And did you ever think of perhaps waiting and taking the Khabib fight later down the line?
I never wait, man. I always take every single opportunity. This one's for not just for myself. It's for family and friends, man. And there's a lot of shit going on in the world, and I'm just trying to do my fucking part. Keep sports alive, and then really just really refer back to the Ultimate Fighter. There's no bullshit with it. You didn't know who you were going to fight. You fought, like, maybe within, like, 3 days or a week notice or whatever. You didn't know. So you always had to be ready. And it didn't matter who you were going to fight. You always had to worry about your shit instead of everybody else's stuff. And I'm going to keep going and doing what I exactly do. And punches, knees, kicks, and elbows, man. And blades and shades all day.
Yeah. And you made headlines because you made a wait for the canceled date, April 18th. And then there was some critics saying, like, you know, maybe that's not the smartest thing, making weight and getting that depleted.
Fuck those guys. Look, I'm going to be real, dude. Just because they've never wrestled before, just because they've never been in the sport, they're going to have their opinions. And even people that make weight had their opinions. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The next time I worry about whatever somebody else is going to do is never, dude. I haven't ever worried about anybody else's opinion. Now everybody's jocking my style and they want to do that kind of shit. That's cool, man. OG, original genius. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my best. And like I said, I'm going to walk away a man, win or lose. But we're going out there and we're going to get that fucking W.
Yeah.
All day, every day, twice on Sunday.
Yeah. And I know you obviously wanted to fight the champion, Habib, and that was impossible. But just from that aside, the championship aside, just from a skill standpoint, would you prefer this matchup with Justin Gaethje better than the Khabib one, or do you have a preference on either matchup? Because they're very distinct fighters.
I'm going to be real. Khabib doesn't fucking even exist to me right now. That dude fell off the fucking face of the earth with McNuggets. Those dudes are a bunch of fucking bitches. The only two people that signed on the dotted line are real fucking men. You know what I mean? I called Uncle Dana and I told him I was very proud of him for being able to make sure that this shit fucking goes. Instead of calling him Uncle Dan, I call him Bro Man because he gave me a job at the Ultimate Fighter. And I knocked out Justin Edwards on my birthday, and he said, "Happy birthday, kid." And I told him, "That stuck with me, dude." And I was like, "I'm still your man. I'm a team player, and teamwork makes the dream work, man. Let's fucking do this shit. Let's make sure that we put some asses in the seats at home at UFC 249 and make sure everybody's social distancing by giving fucking high fives and hugs after I fucking win."
No one's stupid enough not to watch this fight, I'll tell you that. Everyone's going to be tuning in. They know what we both bring. It's fucking huge for the sport, huge for me, huge for Tony, huge for the employees. Oh, man, it's going to be fireworks. Be a lot of people watching.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about that, and this is for both of you guys. What does it feel like to be pretty much the only major sport that's going to go down on Saturday?
Fucking great. That's great.
Yeah. Seriously, I'm going to be real. This is awesome. I mean, you can hear it in both of our voices, dude. There's no bullshit with this. You know, when they had the wars going on and everything else, there was no sport. They only had, like, the Olympics going on. Right now, there's no Olympics. There's no Wimbledon. There's no NBA draft. There's no NFL draft. There's no fucking tennis. There's no soccer, hockey. There's no baseball. This is what we bring to the table, man, and we're going to go out there and do our best, and we're going to fucking keep sports alive. That's what we're going to motherfucking do.
Yeah, this is going to bring a sense of normalcy to people, and, you know, I'm fucking proud to be a part of it. You know, the opportunity to inspire. People need to be inspired right now. They need to not let themselves, you know, become depressed, emotional, because they can't control what's going on right now. We got to ride it through, and they need to be inspired in a way, and we could do that. We have the opportunity.
Thank you, guys. Looking forward to the fight.
Yes, sir.
Our next question comes from Ryan Grabossi with Newsday.
Thank you. This question is for both of you guys. I know you're both very excited to be in the spotlight of the only sport competing right now, but given the public health situation, did either of you have any reservations about participating, and are you satisfied with the testing plans the UFC has got in place for this thing? Well, I'll start with Tony.
What was the question again? I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking about UFC 249.
Did you have any reservations about participating in the event, and are you satisfied with the testing plans that the UFC has put into place for the event?
Yeah, I actually went through the testing process today. One of my trainers fucking scared shitless. I won't tell what name it was, but we went in there and we handled shit like a business. And the testing was interesting, I'll be real. I'm going to post up a video today, and I don't know if you went through this shit already, but just, you know, tickle your brain.
Tomorrow.
Hey.
I'll be going through that tomorrow. Man, I honestly had no reservations. Fighting is very dangerous. So I think we'll be just fine.
Have you made any changes in your travel plans and how you plan to go through everything, getting to the event, whatnot? Has anything changed?
It's wearing a mask. I wish they put us on a private plane, but that didn't happen. So here we go.
I felt like Sub-Zero on the fucking thing. I was walking through everywhere, and I had my shades on and my shit. It felt like Mortal Kombat. Just waiting for that Fight Island, man. That's all we're trying to wait for.
Fuck, this is going to be exactly like Mortal Kombat. It's perfect.
Get over here.
It's awesome.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That's it.
Our next question comes from Mike Heck with MMA Fighting.
Hey, guys. Justin, I just had a quick question for you. When this fight was first booked, you had done some interviews and talked about how you felt like it was terrifying with everything going on, that you seemingly have to doubt yourself to sort of give you that extra boost heading into a fight. How would you describe how you're feeling about it 4 days away from your first shot at the UFC title?
Yeah, man, the fear had nothing to do with what was going on. It was the opponent I was facing. I know that this man's a cardio machine, and it's just impossible to get ready in 18 days. I've been very surprised, and it's crazy how my body has responded with the extra time. And right now, man, you're only scared if you're worried about winning or losing. That's not a factor here. I care about effort and the fact that people know that, and they'll never quit. Never quit. If people see you quit, then you can't inspire people. I'm there to go as hard as I fucking can for as long as I can. And I got the perfect opponent right there, man. He is a cardio machine. So the fear came from knowing that with 18 days, it was going to be absolutely impossible to be ready for 25 minutes. With the 5 weeks I've had now, you know, I'm 100% confident. And, yeah, man, I'm ready. I need my nose broken, so hopefully one of them, you know, I haven't been able to breathe through my nose for like 12 years since wrestling. So hopefully one of them elbows cracks my nose. The UFC's got to pay for that shit. And it's an exciting-ass fight. That's all I'm
talking about.
Tony, sort of a similar question for you, because you've been doing this for a long time, and you know, you went through the Ultimate Fighter, and you've gone through all these different things to get to the point you're at right now. Do you still need to find something to carry as a chip on your shoulder heading into these fights, or does the fight itself just motivate you enough, along with just being one of the greatest in the division?
You remember when I said that shit? I don't have a chip on my shoulder, but I have a chip on my shoulder. It's kind of one of those, you know, double negative kind of things, and This is an athlete sport. I'm going to be real. I don't bring any hate into the sport except when I'm fighting, you know, certain people. But we have another athlete who's game. He's Olympic caliber, and we're going to go out there. And like I said, man, I'm not going to try to be lame and say we're going to do our best and do 150% and everything else like that. But who fucking raw, man? We're fucking men. We're going to go out there and we're going to do a fucking show, dude. I mean, literally, it doesn't matter.
It will be a war. It will be a war, and the people will fucking love it.
We're going to go out there and we're going to take chances, man, and we're going to take chances. And I'm going to – hold on, I'm still talking, brother.
Just kidding, man. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, there's no hate here. There's a lot of respect between both of you guys. You guys kind of know what you're up against. You're going to go in there and you're going to go to war for as long as the fight takes place. But how refreshing is that for you, just knowing that you're going to go into a fight with a guy who's just as game as you are, that's just as fired up as you are, and there's no hatred or BS to be thrown around here in terms of headlines and clicks and things like that?
That's why we're main eventing, man. That's why everybody else. And we got other people fighting on the undercard. I'm going to be real. We don't have to refer back to who, but we're going to say, you know what, this is where we belong, and we're the best of the best, and we're top five. We're going to go in there, and we're going to do exactly what we do, and that's fucking throwing fucking bows, bro.
Justin, is this the outside of the title implications from a competitive standpoint, is this the most enthused and fired up you've been for a fight outside of the main event and the title implications?
Yeah, I mean, after I think it was my big win, I said I wanted to fight Tony because I know, man, you know, we're both some very fucking special people when it comes to being able to be comfortable when adrenaline is coursing through your veins. That is not something that is natural. That's something that has been learned, been worked on. And that feeling when it's going through my veins, you know, it's the best drug on earth. I'm telling you right now, the feeling of being in a life or death situation and being able to actually be comfortable there's nothing like it, man. And I know that he is the same way. And, you know, we're probably going to get two bonuses. We're both getting one bonus. And I fight for money. So this is And at the time when I said that, I was speaking to be the most exciting fighter in the world. And Tony is the best opponent to bring that out of me.
All the best, you guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Alistair Hendry with Fighters Only.
Hi, Justin. Just a quick question. I noticed that you made your pro debut a month after Ferguson made his UFC debut, so it seems crazy how quickly you've come up, but when you were coming up on Raging the Cage and World Series of Fighting, how much of a fan were you of Tony Ferguson?
You're saying he signed with UFC a month before I did?
No, he I was saying you made your pro debut a month after Ferguson made his UFC debut.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Man, it's fucking awesome. It's surreal. You know, I've always looked at it as one fight at a time. I never looked ahead. I never saw myself here. But, you know, it's a testament to hard work. I've worked since I was 4 years old. And luckily, this became an option and a career path. And I was fucking born, bred, raised to be exactly where I'm at right now in hindsight. But, yeah, it's surreal when you look back. I think I'll really enjoy looking back on the career and how fast or how slow or how bad or how good it all went. But that can't happen until it's over. Right now, it has to be one day at a time, one fight at a time. This sport is too dangerous to look ahead.
Of course. And in terms of social distancing, how much have you been able to see Trevor Whitman, or is it just a case of video calls and phone calls at the time or before in the last couple of weeks? How often have you been able to see him?
Luckily, I have a private gym, so I've seen him every single day. I do all my wrestling there. I do all my boxing, all kickboxing, all my privates with my coaches there. There's been no problem. My life has not changed one bit since it started. I live by myself, so that's pretty easy. You know, I've been in isolation for a couple of years now, getting my mind ready for opportunities like this.
Sure, and I noticed you said something really interesting in the Countdown show. You said that when you were a lot younger, before you got into MMA, you were quite keen to be a social worker. What kind of got you into thinking about that career?
The biggest thing was having the parents that I have. I have amazing, unbelievable parents. And, you know, now as I grow up, I understand how lucky I am for that. You know, it's not something that is given to every person, and it's something that, you know, that we don't all get. And so when I understood this, you know, I thought if I could be that positive influence for one kid, you know, much less 100, now with this platform, I could reach much more. But, you know, in my mindset, it was like, you know, I was lucky enough to have that, and I owe it to at least one child to try and be a positive influence or try and change the negative connotation that they have on life.
Cool. Great. Thanks. So I've got one question for Tony as well. In terms of entertainment value for the fans, would you say Gaethje is the most exciting replacement for Khabib you could have asked for?
Justin's a game opponent, man. God, I'm lifting weights right now. I'm going to be real. I'm not worried about what he's bringing to the table. I'm worrying about exactly what I'm doing, man. We went back to basics, and it's a grunt lifestyle. I'm going to be real, man. No comment after that. I don't give a fuck about Khabib or, like I said, McNugget, dude. You guys are a bunch of bitches. Tiramisu Tuesday, McNugget Monday stays. And we got Gaethje, man, and I can't wait till Sunday morning.
Excellent. Cool. Thanks for your time, guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And that's all the time we have for questions. I'll turn the call back to Lene for additional remarks.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lauren. And I would like to thank Tony, Justin, and everyone else for joining today's call. Please stay tuned for more information on UFC 249 over the course of the week. And a reminder, following 249, UFC continues with fight nights on May 13th and 16th from Jacksonville. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Real quick. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to my sponsors.